with the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man.
Welcome to Leisureman Podcast on NBC Sports, the most popular, most well-promoted, biggest podcast on all of NBC's platform. They love us. We're the focal point of the entire podcast platform.
Well, not in Olympic years. They put more attention to the Olympics, but right. It's not an Olympic year, so it's all about us.
3 years and 50 weeks,
yeah,
it's us. The other 2 weeks, it's all Olympics.
Yeah, like when they're in Tokyo, will we be there?
No, we take a hiatus so we could spread some of the Leisureman wealth.
Yeah, yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Exactly. It's like when you have a great scorer, you might have him be the sixth man, like Lou Williams in the NBA. So when the starters come off the bench, you still have a great scorer. We're the sixth man of NBC Sports.
Absolutely. We think we're the first man, but we're more like the 12th man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I take Lou Williams. That'd be fine.
Oh, I would love Lou Williams' career.
Is it like basically the sixth man award has gone to Lou Williams and
Jamal Crawford
like 75% of the time? Kind of like Chad Pennington won the comeback player of the year three times,
I think it was.
Yeah. Back-to-back years. It was amazing.
And one of the years, he just came back from being bad at football. He wasn't actually injured. That'd be the worst.
Well, Chad Pennington was always, you know, even when he was supposedly healthy, that arm was holding on by, like, glue.
I liked him, though. I liked his accuracy. He reminded me of, like, a Joe Montana light.
Yeah, no, he was a good quarterback, for sure. But I always think of it, if you ask me, say, who is a quarterback who injured his shoulder the most? Chad Pennington jumps right to mind.
Right. Cam Newton's going to take that away.
Yeah, Cam and, well, Andrew Luck was certainly, Luck missed a whole season. I think, by the way, Cam and Luck's history, they're about exactly the same age. Cam could easily do what Andrew Luck is doing. He had shoulder surgery, couldn't come back from that. Then he hurt his, like, it's a weird foot injury. Did Andrew Luck have some sort of weird foot injury?
Sure, well, he had a calf.
So I wonder if Cam's mind, he saw Andrew Luck and was like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Well, I also think he may have saw what happened to Andrew Luck and say, you know what? I need to shut it down this season and get 100% right. Healthy for the back half of my career, which I thought Andrew Luck was going on a great route where he took that basically that year off and he got back. And last year, he was
great.
A top flight quarterback again, and it appeared that he was going to enter this season. The Colts were a hot team, deep. A Super Bowl contender, I think it's fair to say.
Absolutely.
And he was on the way to paying off that Hall of Fame promise, Andrew Luck, and then he just said, plug pulled.
Yeah, and do you feel, not any of me feels like he'll come back.
No, well,
I know you don't like to say never, but like, well, yeah, what? Give a percentage if you can, 0 to 100.
Well, I would say maybe 20% because he may be one of those guys who gets real healthy over the next 8 months, has a son or a daughter. I know he's got one kid already, but he may say to himself, boy, I'm 32. I've got 50 years left with nothing to do. I know he's going to have projects and things to do.
But yeah, maybe tech, Silicon Valley, that kind of thing.
But he may say to himself, I've got a 5-year window if I want to jump back in. And if I'm 42 and I have this feeling, I don't have that option. He may weigh that when he's completely healthy, but I would not bet on it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, a lot of guys have retired and come back. Brett Favre, who we had on the DP show this week, did it like 3 times. Kurt Warner thought about it in his 40s. Tom Brady's 42 and going strong. Speaking of, before we dive into football. And
I heard you got something.
Yeah, this is health related and it's going to cheer you up. Not that you believed the first report, but do you remember about a year ago, there was a report came out about how bad red meat and processed meat was for you?
Yeah, I debunked that, but go ahead.
Okay, so I found this story this morning. There's a new review from experts across North America and Europe. And this is what an associate professor at Dalhousie University in Canada.
Oh, that's a meat hotbed.
Co-led the review published Monday in the Annals of Internal Medicine Journal. Based on the research, we cannot say with any certainty that eating red or processed meat causes cancer, diabetes, or heart disease. The big three.
Wow.
So, Paul, you can go back to eating red meat that you actually never stopped.
Yeah, I would never quit. I'm not a quitter. But I would say this. With the meat policy, I don't like to be extreme with any policies. I think if you eat a hamburger, and that's not that bad for you. I think if you eat a double cheeseburger with bacon, and you, that is now you're getting other things involved, other fattiness involved.
But yeah, but haven't we learned that fat is good? Like the whole trend is keto. You know, is no carbs, all fat, and you need. You need fat to keep that going, so maybe the cheeseburger is good for you.
I think there's bad fat and good fat. I'm not an expert on this, but I think I know a little bit. I know how I feel after I eat a hamburger that's got good meat in it or a steak that's high in meat. I don't feel gorged. I don't feel like I'm going to bloated. And there's other foods that you eat that you just know this has no redeeming qualities. I think well-made meat, well-put-together meat, high-end meat is not that bad for you.
Let me, you know, okay, you didn't outright say it, but you're hinting at like moderation might be something. But if you think of animals in nature, they're the healthiest. Like they eat the same thing over and over again. So maybe we should be eating red meat every day, like carnivores, old school.
Yeah, I'm really big on the moderation thing. I treat myself to, like, the other night we went out and I got this high-end cheeseburger at it was a really nice restaurant, but it was unbelievably good. Like, it was special. What I'm not going to do is go to a fast food place 4 days a week and have their salt-infested fat burger, because I don't think that's good for you. And there's different kinds of meat. Both are meat. Both are cheeseburgers. But one is made by locally sourced farms, and one's made of mostly processed fat and salt.
Yeah, boom, boom. I hear you. You know, and I have a friend, I have a neighbor who I saw last night. He lives next door. He goes, yeah, I'm on paleo diet. You know, that was like a big thing 4 years ago. I'm like, people still do that? And then our buddy Big Cat was telling me he's on the keto diet. It's lost 30 pounds.
What's the keto diet?
Keto, like Atkins.
Okay, is that mostly protein?
So yeah, you eat all protein and your body goes into ketosis, right? And it's now, for some reason, they don't call it Atkins anymore. I see on Twitter, they call it the keto diet.
So you have a lot of protein, but lower fats, lower sugars.
No, higher fats.
Higher.
But yeah, no, not in healthy.
Meat fats.
It doesn't matter, any fats. It's just you can't have any carb or any processed sugar. You have to eat fat, otherwise your body will still be hungry. So fats are good.
I agree with that. If you eat too lean, I'm constantly hungry.
Yeah. So, you know, have you ever, I'd like to do an experiment because I love eating meat.
Let's do it.
I'd like to, but it's too hard to, it's a lot.
Are you saying a meat-only diet or a meat-free diet for 2 weeks?
Meat only. I'm not doing meat-free. I have no interest in that. 2 weeks. Like, you got to do it for like 2 months.
Okay. Want to know like what my diet is right now and grade it? I have for breakfast, I have an egg white omelet with mushrooms and grilled chicken breast.
So in the keto diet, you would make it, the first thing you would do is don't make egg whites because you're losing the best part of the egg.
So make it all egg.
All egg. In the keto diet. Yeah, but there's a lot of cholesterol, but whatever. Okay. What? Mushrooms and what?
Mushrooms and grilled chicken breast chopped up.
Yeah, I think the mushrooms might be an issue. I don't know.
That seems like a pretty benign food.
You'd think, but you know, vegetables are iffy. Anyway, okay, what's next?
Lunch. Lunch is a crapshoot.
Lunch is bad around here right now.
But our lunch situation at work is a disaster.
Yeah, okay.
What should I be eating on the keto diet?
If you were in the keto diet, you would
have... Big piece of fish?
Yeah, you might. You might have a hamburger, no bun, a cheeseburger, no bun.
Right.
A lot of fat. You need a lot of fat to keep your body satiated.
Warm for the winter?
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, you'll get starving and you'll eat a sandwich.
You know, I met this guy, I have this buddy named Vinny, and
I know Vinny.
You know Vinny up in Vermont?
Good dude.
He's the mayor up there. So I see my buddy Vinny. I haven't seen him in probably 3 months. And he's on a new diet where he didn't change his diet drastically, but he eats from that, what do they call it? Intermittent eating?
Intermittent fasting. That's the other super hot diet.
Well, this guy tried it, and he eats from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Right.
And he doesn't eat anything after 7 o'clock and nothing before. And he said it didn't take long to get used to because he wasn't a big breakfast guy.
Well, that's our other option. If we don't want to do the keto diet, then we can do the intermittent fasting.
I think I could do the intermittent fasting. He lost 21 pounds in 8 weeks without really exercising and without drastically changing his intake of the kinds of foods. He eats a little better. He said less sugar.
So, but is he going to keep this up?
He says it's not that much of a problem. He's just eating 3 meals in a tighter window.
What about grumpiness?
He seemed in a good mood. He looked fantastic.
What time of day was it?
When I saw him, about 7 o'clock. He just wrapped up his eating day. So, of course.
So I'm going to have to deal with you till 11 when you don't eat it. And you and I are both super grumpy when we don't eat.
But Vinny had 4 beers, so he was in a good mood.
No, exactly. I'm saying like the time you're fasting, before 11, you must be a nightmare with your coworkers.
Right.
You must be like on edge. And I don't care if you get used to it. And I know this because we work with several intermittent fasters. They are different people before they eat.
Yeah. I'll tell you though, with our job, we're pretty busy from 7 a.m. until noon.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have a ton of time to give too much thought about how hungry I am. Like I'd have enough, some time.
Right. But you don't recognize how you treat people differently.
Looker's talking.
There's four. I eat because I know. Right. I'm a nightmare when I don't eat. But I think there's four intermittent fasters in the studio right now.
Yeah.
And I can tell the difference between, I wait till they eat, then I talk to them.
Who wants to try which one? Do you want to go all meat or do you want to go intermittent fasting?
Well, I mean, all meat seems more fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if, here's the thing. Oh, boy. I don't know, like, will I stick with it? What's the point? You know, I have a doctor's appointment coming up and I'm going to get all my blood work done. I want to go in super healthy. So I was like, I'm going to run a little more.
Isn't that like cheating on an exam?
Yeah, I know, it's stupid. But I'm like, I'm going to run a little more. But then, of course, I wore down my left knee by doing that. So now I can't really run. There's a nightmare. There's no easy solution, Paul. There's no shortcuts.
By the way, before we move on to sports, I went into my doctor about a year ago this month, and I'd been eating really well, working out. I dropped about 12 pounds. And I went into my doctor and he checks my blood pressure. He goes, good job. He goes, he weighed me. He goes, you're down 12 pounds in 9 weeks. And he goes, fantastic job. He goes, pat me on the back. He goes, your numbers are all great. He goes, well done. I walked out of there and got the biggest plate of wings you've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
I treated myself.
Yeah, of course.
The minute I walked out of the doctor's office, it felt like I passed a big exam and now I was going on spring break.
Yeah, wings are good in the keto diet, by the way.
Is it really?
Oh my God.
Let's get this keto guy on. I would like to talk to him. Keto, what's the name?
Oh, come on. You have never... Atkins has been a hot thing for 15 years.
At least.
I know. Like, that's been like...
I've heard about the keto, but I don't subscribe to any diets that are drastic.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen Big Cat's been going on and off that diet for at least a decade now.
Big Cat,
ever since Part of My Take started, he's been talking about, I'm in ketosis.
There's nothing better than looking at old posts that Big Cat has. Like, he'll be in a sweatshirt that's an XL and it's busting at the seams. And then 6 months later, he's in an XL and it's blousy on him. It's big and puffy.
You know, we haven't had our fall basketball run, so I haven't seen him in a long time. He's missed the first two runs. So
he has a kid now. Yeah, a lot of takeout.
Nobody told me he went on keto and he's like, I'm gonna kill when I get to basketball. And it probably is. Like, if he was like in fully good shape, he'd be tough to handle. Yeah. He is strong. But
if an all meat diet made you a great basketball player, I'd be Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel that he won't have a lot of energy because he's on all meat diet.
One out of four batteries will fail this winter. That means if you have three friends and you're listening to this right now, like you should be, one of you guys is screwed. Get yours tested for free. Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, they'll tell you. If it doesn't, they'll tell you that too. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices. Every day.
All right, what sports should we do?
Okay, let's talk about the NCAA and the new law that's bill is being passed. It's going to be a couple of years down the road. Gavin Newsom and LeBron James kind of paired up on this. And basically it means that college athletes will be able to control their own likeness, their own value. And again, we're so early into this, but in theory, a guy like Zion Williamson, the extreme example, could have signed a marketing deal whilst at Duke.
Sure.
Okay. I think what happens is... I don't like extreme things either way, just like moderation. I was kind of anti-paying college athletes because when I heard too many college athletes or people defending college athletes complain, you know, these guys, they don't get paid at all. They don't get anything. They can't afford to eat. Come on now. Don't give me that. And that made me angry. But like,
oh, yeah.
They get a free college education, free books, free place to live, free food. And there's a lot of other Pell Grants athletes can get that other people don't have as direct access to. And you can get money, a grant. A grant you don't pay back, by the way. It's not a loan.
Oh, I know. I went to an Ivy League school where all the athletes, none of them got scholarships. They all got Pell Grants.
Right.
It's like a scholarship. Yeah. I mean,
it's free money that's given to you based on your need, based on your application. Yeah. And it always bothered me. I was like, I don't want anyone complaining and saying that college athletes aren't already paid. You know, I was really good at journalism. I couldn't get a college scholarship. Unless I would have got A's, but I would have needed the grades too. Like in high school, I was good. I won like a journalism award for a high school student. Nobody gave me a scholarship to study journalism, so I didn't have that option. But college athletes, they have a lot of opportunities that we had. So I was kind of anti-paying them. But then I used to think, when I got to college, I worked at the school newspaper, and I got paid minimum wage to work at the school newspaper. I was shocked that they paid us. I thought it'd be like an internship for your profession, that you'd work at the school paper because you're a journalism student or communication student. And when I found out I got paid $5.25 an hour, because that's what minimum wage was when I was in college, I was like, this is unbelievable. I can't believe they're going to pay me for 25 or 30 hours a week. And I don't see why college athletes can't get the same.
Yeah. But what about, and then do you agree that, say you do get a minimum wage, also they can market and do deals outside deals. Are you okay with that?
It is. That's a lot sloppier and messier than just the paid minimum wage to practice 20 hours a week.
Can I tell you one thing about this too? Like, maybe it'll help college sports because it'll keep some players out of the pros. For example, I know as a fact, the XFL is going to make a run at like 5 to 10 big college football players who aren't eligible yet.
Right.
and they'll probably get some of them.
Like the USFL did 25, 30 years
ago. Yeah, so they're going to go to the USFL model. And we've seen what that's done to college basketball. It's hurt the sport tremendously, one and done. So maybe this will keep kids in college longer and make the sport a little more robust.
I do wonder if a guy like Zion Williamson had total control of his finances and could have an agent, may have gone back to Duke to try to win a title.
Sure.
Because he could sign a Nike deal now, and Nike just give him that money a year earlier, and then he could wait in the draft and go another year. He would have that option financially.
The big one to me is, what if Trevor Lawrence got, say it was, I've heard between 10 and 15 million from the XFL. Why is he coming back to Clemson 1 year? This 1 year right now is not working. Why not do a year in XFL so he can sign his shoe deal for 100 million?
Right.
Why? And maybe Trevor Lawrence would do it, but somebody's going to do it. So you're going to lose a quarterback. Now you can sign your shoe deal in college and do it. Because the second he signs with the XFL, he could sign with Nike right the next day.
Yeah, I say the only argument is that Trevor Lawrence may say, like, you know what, it's still not the NFL. I want to be the number one pick, shake the commissioner's hand, be the face of an NFL franchise that everybody watches. But Herschel Walker did it. Doug Flutie
did it. Steve Young did it.
Steve That's what Young
I'm saying.
Did it. Yeah. Everybody did it. You know, it wasn't like an anomaly back in 83 when the USFL came out. Herschel Walker was the biggest college football player ever as far as reputation and famousness.
Yeah.
Doug Flutie wasn't far behind, and they both went to the USFL.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, why not? You said Jim Kelly, right?
I mean, Jim Kelly was big time.
He was a superstar.
Yeah. And, all those, Reggie White went.
So I have no idea if the XFL will even hint at that, but it just feels like, you know, I think it could help the sport because here's the next question. I was watching games the other day on Saturday. There was four good games on in the 3 o'clock window. There were so many commercials. Mm. When are the kids going to ask for that money? Because that's real money.
Well, that's the money they can get.
No. But they could get, not like the car dealership thing. I'm saying like there was like a Progressive Insurance ad during the USC game. Like at one point, the students could be like, well, I want part of that TV deal.
Right. Or if Under Armour sponsors South Carolina football and you're Marcus Lattimore, you sign with South Carolina. Okay, they're paying $3 million a year. I want 25 grand of that because I'm the biggest recruit here.
Yeah. And I got to imagine TV is the biggest income driver for major schools. So like the new deals coming up, like, yeah, this is a slippery slope. Eventually they're going to be like, I want to get paid. And like, you know what? I don't think it'll kill the sport. I think it'll be fine. Are you worried for the future of the sport? Like Mark Emerson?
I think it's going to be complex and very complex because you're going to have to pay a lot more people. It's almost like there's going to be more hands out.
Yeah.
And I think the sponsors are going to have to pay more. The TV networks are going to have to pay more. And some of that money is going to be shared with other people because the colleges and the NCAA will not give up revenue. They'll just charge people more money, I think.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, the truth is there's a lot of money in that sport. There's just like you said that probably more people watch college football than NFL.
Because there's so many teams.
There's so many teams, but that means there's more commercials. There's so much money. Sometimes I wonder, like, who's getting all that money?
the athletic departments, the coaches.
But does some of that money go... I don't know if you know. Did some of that go to academics? Like, does like a University of Alabama give a ton of money back to their academics? I hope so.
You would hope so, but they wouldn't necessarily have to. They could say, like, look, you raise your money, we'll raise ours.
Yeah, and also too, you know, the University of Alabama or any school, it's a huge way to get alumni to give money. It's like a focal point for alumni.
I think what's most interesting for me is that California put this bill out there and said it's gonna be 2023. Then Florida says, how about spring of 2020? That means they're going for this spring. That's not that far off. That's like 7 months away.
They're forcing the NCAA's hand because the NCAA can't, or whoever, you can't have Florida and California have these two rules, right? Like, it's just a matter. Is there any way that you think there'll ever be two states that have it and 48 that don't?
No, because if you're playing catch up on this, you're dead in the water.
Yeah,
I think the NCAA should do is bring in a couple economic advisors,
mm-hmm.
like who are dispassionate. Some advisors who have no dog in the fight and say, okay, look at this model and look where it's going. How would you advise us to embrace this so we make actually more money and it's better? Like, they need to get off their amateurism of the 50s, 60s, and 70s because it's going away real fast. And they need to find a way to embrace it, make more. It reminds me of that scene in Boogie Nights. I'm going to compare it to porn. Yeah, I did it. Remember when Jack Horner... doesn't want to go to videotape. He's a filmmaker.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then at the end, they show him with videotapes all over the place. The NCAA should say, like, look, all right, we're going to lose this battle, or we could give up the battle now and win the war.
Yeah. They had I've heard, I love Freakonomics. You know that?
Yeah.
It's a podcast. They were talking about college sports, and they called it a black market, which they paid players, but it wasn't regulated. So, but they said black markets have a bad, they say black markets imply something sinister, but black markets exist all over our economy. So like that was working great. Like they had an existing black market. They are paying players. Like we know that to some extent. And also too, they're paying them in scholarships too. They're paying them in Pell Grants. So like, it's just, I love your idea of having an economist look at it. How can we grow with this? Because they have to.
They're going
to, they have to, or there's no NCAA.
Yeah, the public sentiment's not on their side. By the way, Boogie Nights, did it do more for Mark Wahlberg's career or the back end of Burt Reynolds' career?
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
But Mark Wahlberg got a lot of big-time acting off that.
Well, like, what was he? I can't remember what he was in right before that and right after that.
He was in, like, Fear.
And nah, that was 10 years before Boogie Nights.
10 years?
I don't know.
Where's your...
It made him a serious actor.
Let's go Mark Wahlberg's IMDb and start off with Basketball Diaries and see which direction it goes. Fill with...
That's a good movie. That's Leo, right?
Yeah, it's okay movie. It's a good book.
Oh, Jim Carroll. Okay, let's see. We're going to... He's known for...
Let me do a little filler here.
This
episode of The Leisure Room brought to you by Sacred Heart University's Sports Media Master's Program. Go to sacredheart.edu to find out all about Sacred Heart Sports Media. We're doing the show live at Sacred Heart right now. Our home away from home, Perloff.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
That's filler. That's good filler.
Mark Wahlberg, man. He's got his hands in everything. Okay.
Let's start with Basketball Diaries, then go after that.
First movie. He has a couple TV movies.
That doesn't.
The Substitute. Then he's in a movie called Renaissance Man. That was a real movie.
No idea.
Then he was in a couple small movies. Then he was in The Basketball Diaries.
Okay.
Then he was in Fear.
Okay.
Then he was in Boogie Nights. You're right.
Okay, I nailed that one.
He's in another movie called Traveler. I don't know that one.
Fear was fine. It was, you know, not good,
so,
not bad.
So it is all Boogie Nights. Why did I feel like I knew Mark Wahlberg before Boogie Nights?
Well, because of his rap career. I mean, you knew him as a rapper, a kind of not hokey rapper, but a novelty item rapper with not a lot of shelf life. And if he doesn't get Boogie Nights, I mean, this is the most obvious statement of all time. I don't know where it goes.
His next movies, by the way, The Big Hit, I don't know. The Corruptor, I don't know. Then Three Kings, that was great.
That was a great movie.
The Yards, which was a big, like supposed to be a big thing, was a huge flop. Perfect Storm. How good was he at Perfect Storm?
Big movie.
Planet of the Apes, one of the early Planet of the Apes.
But again, now he starts getting blockbusters.
Yeah.
And he's probably getting paid $15
million. Here's an interesting one. What did you think of the movie Rockstar?
Nah,
it was an interesting concept to me.
Yeah.
Like, it reminded me, like, you know, because we were there for that 80s hairband.
It never felt great.
The Italian Job, it was I Heart Huckabees, was a critical success. Mm-hmm. Invincible is Vince Papale.
That's a positive sports movie. There are not a lot of good sports movies.
Yeah, I know. That's so Philly. I like it. Then a big role, The Departed. Well, because it won the Oscar.
He got nominated for Best Supporting Actor for The Departed, I think.
And here, how about this one? Remember Shooter? Did you see the original Shooter?
Never saw it.
Oh, Shooter is, he plays a sort of an assassin.
Is it good?
It's really good. Huh. There's a scene where Levon Helm, who is the drummer of the band who died since then, plays this old Southern guy who lectures on him how to
shoot.
Now
I want to see it.
Yeah, and then it became a series, actually. I think with Ryan Felipe plays Mark Wahlberg. Shooter's good. It's an action meet 'em up. Then he is, oh man, The Happening. Do you know this movie? It's M. Night Shyamalan's disaster. It was terrible. He got killed for that.
Yeah.
Lovely Bones, he was good in. Anyway, I could go through this. The Fighter, I think he got nominated for that, didn't he?
He sure did. That movie got really good positive reviews.
Yeah, he's been good. And then, but then he's doing all these movies like Lone Survivor, and like there's always like an oil rig that's blowing up. These real life disaster movies.
If there's a natural disaster, Mark Wahlberg's going to be there.
But you know what his best one was? Ted.
Oh, yeah.
Ted is like, man, what a career this dude has had.
He's versatile.
I saw an interview with him and James Corden. He really wakes up at 3 and goes down to the gym and starts pumping iron.
He goes to bed at 7:30 at night. I've given this a lot of thought.
Yeah.
The other night, and I'm going to credit Mark Wahlberg here. The other night, it was like 8:30, and I was really tired.
Yeah.
And I looked up, I go, if I go to bed right now and I get a full 8, that means I'm waking up at 4:30. I'd have nothing to do for about 2.5 hours. I could get the biggest workout of all time in.
Yeah. I think back to his comments on that all the time. I'm like, why don't I go to bed now?
So Wahlberg,
Mark Wahlberg.
I read about this. Wahlberg's schedule is 7:30 to bed, up at 3:30, working out, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock. He gets like 8.5 hours sleep, lifting at 4:30, shower, eat, golf at 6:30, 7 o'clock. He's like, he'll go get 18 in before 10 a.m. So he's had his full workout, and a full 18 holes, and then he starts his meetings.
And he's like producing like 8 films, acting in like 5 films, doing that Wahlberger show. He makes us look like lazy punks.
But I wonder if his theory is those couple hours at night sitting around watching TV are wasted time.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And everyone else, just because everyone else goes to bed at 10-ish, doesn't mean I'm going
to
do it.
Everyone I know, though, does the same thing. You have to watch an hour of TV before you go to bed.
To like settle in.
Yeah, I have always done that. It doesn't matter what time I get home. I can't just go home and go to bed.
Okay, so Leisureman, what are we going to try out? The keto diet and the Mark Wahlberg sleep pattern? Are we doing either of those?
Probably not.
No?
I don't know.
We'll do it once.
It's like, it's fall. There's a lot going on. You know, there's foliage, there's football.
But the sun goes down at 6:30, 7 o'clock. The sun's down. There's nothing really to be up for.
Well, what about Monday night and Thursday night football?
I would have preferred.
Matching is coming soon.
Yeah, that's true. I would have preferred to go to bed at 7:30 than watch that game last night. If I had a do over, I'd do the Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. No, Monday night's always like a pretty crappy matchup. But Thursday, now that they have the Fox deal, that's pretty good. I think it's the Rams on the Seahawks this week. You got to watch. Come on, you're going to stay up for that.
Absolutely.
That's your guy, Russell Wilson. Yeah, things get in the way, Paul. We have big lives.
We covered a lot here today. College sports.
Steak.
And Mark Wahlberg's acting career, when it pivoted.
Yeah, good stuff.
That's a good show. There's a show. We're the Leisureman. We're done.